Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Anybody need any patience and persistence in here? Okay, I'm not the only one. I don't know if you noticed that in our Old Testament readings that we've been doing this summer, we've been focusing on the first book of the Bible in the book of Genesis. Sometimes people tell me that the Bible is boring to read. Well, they're not reading the book of Genesis then, right? Because there is everything in there in the book of Genesis. Creation, paradise, sin, love, hate, murder, God's judgment, intrigue, betrayal, and, oh yes, great faith. In the midst of all of that. We have heard stories of the primary patriarchs of the Hebrew faith in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. 2 weeks ago, we heard the account of Jacob wrestling with God, who changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And the nation of Israel was born through the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. Last week, we were introduced to Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, of his 12 sons. Now, Joseph gets 15 chapters in the book of Genesis. So I think Joseph is pretty important, wouldn't you say? Back in Jacob's time, men would take more than one wife. That was the cultural norm. And it wasn't unheard of for a man to have children by his wife's handmaids. It was a different culture. But Genesis is like a soap opera. So if you haven't read it before, go back and read it. If you recall, 3 weeks ago, Jacob worked with his father-in-law for 14 years in order to wed Rachel, his first love. And that, my friends, is patience, waiting 14 years for his wife. He had to marry her sister, Leah first, so Leah, the first sister and the first wife of Jacob, bore Jacob 6 sons. Leah and Rachel's handmaids bore him 4 sons. And Rachel, who had a hard time conceiving, bore Jacob his last 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, you may be asking, "Mother Anita, why are you telling us all this?" Because I want to tell you this. The context matters. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, but he was the firstborn for Rachel, Jacob's first love. And because this, Jacob favored Joseph and eventually Benjamin too over the other 10 sons. Not something I recommend to anybody, okay, as a parent. It doesn't work out well. One of the things that Joseph was given as a gift is he could interpret dreams. And one of the dreams that he interpreted was that his brothers would bow down before him one day. Not something to tell your older brothers either. Yeah. Now you maybe know why Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt by his jealous brothers. As Joseph goes to Egypt, he does not go alone. God goes with him. Joseph takes with him first his faith in God, but also the gift of prophecy and interpretation of dreams. Along with his father Jacob, Joseph also shares the gift of patience. Nearly 23 years has passed since Joseph last saw his brothers. He was only 17 years old when his brothers sold him into slavery, and now he is 40 years old when Joseph's brothers come to him in Egypt. No wonder they did not recognize him. Much has happened to Joseph over those 23 years in Egypt. His story is a story of patience and faith that paid off. Remember, he's got 15 chapters in Genesis. First, he was sold into slavery. We heard about that a few weeks ago. But God was with Joseph, and his success, he had a lot of success in everything he did. Joseph was put in charge of the house of the first in command under Pharaoh, Potiphar. But you know, there's always something happening. There's always a problem. Well, Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph and tried to seduce him. But Joseph kept rejecting her numerous times. But Potiphar's wife made up a story that landed Joseph in prison. I warned you, it was a soap opera in Genesis. But God was still with Joseph, even in prison. And he becomes the servant of the warden, and he takes care of the other prisoners. In prison, Joseph meets a cupbearer and baker of the Pharaoh. I guess, you know, if you serve the Pharaoh, you better be point on or you're going to find yourself in prison, right? While in prison, the cupbearer and the baker both have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams for them. The cupbearer, Joseph tells, will be restored to his position. And Joseph asks him to remember him to Pharaoh so that he could get out of prison. The baker, unfortunately, Joseph told, sorry, dude, you're going to be killed. And both of those things happened. Now, the cupbearer was released, but he forgot about Joseph for a while. Good thing Joseph had a lot of patience, right? Another 2 years go by, and Pharaoh has a dream that nobody in the kingdom can interpret. But then the cupbearer remembers that Joseph was able to interpret dreams and tells Pharaoh about it. With God's help, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. And the dream was about 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt and 7 years of famine. And Joseph has a plan for Pharaoh to weather these 14 years. And Joseph is put in charge of the land and the resources and becomes very powerful. Everyone must come to Joseph for the food. And Joseph, this is where our passage comes in Genesis. Joseph sees his brothers again because there's a famine in Canaan too. And they come to Egypt for food and resources. Joseph recognizes his brothers, but they don't recognize him. They haven't seen him in 23 years. Joseph could have been very bitter toward his brothers, but instead he forgives his brothers, well, after he messes with them a little bit more, but you'll have to read about that yourself. And then in chapter 50, he says this to his brothers. As far as I'm concerned, God turned into what you meant for evil, for he brought me to good, because he brought me into this high position and I have today, so that I could save the lives of many people. 13 years Joseph served as a slave and in prison. But finally, at the age of 30, Joseph is released. And in 13 years, Joseph never lost his faith in God. Actually, in 23 years, he never lost his faith in God. And at the age of 40, Joseph is now able to save his whole family from a 7-year famine in the land. Joseph's patience and faith paid off. He saved his people of Israel from a famine. Now, turning to our gospel reading this morning, we have God using a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, to also show persistence in faith. And because of her persistence paid off. Again, we need to understand the context of what is going on in this passage. Jesus is using the situation of the Gentile woman as a teaching moment to his disciples. It is true that the Jews would sometimes refer to Gentiles as dogs, or as we would translate, mangy cur. Most of the dogs in Jesus' time were wild dogs that lived on the street. For the Jews, the reference was mainly calling Gentiles unclean and dirty. But Jesus doesn't use the same word in this passage for this woman. Instead, she uses the Greek word here that we would translate little puppy. Now, many of you know that I'm into little puppies, right? So the people that don't know me that well, I'm waiting for my little puppy, my little golden retriever, on October 21st. I'm trying to be patient. It's not working very well, but I was persistent enough to convince my husband that I needed another puppy, but the patience part is still not quite there yet. But little puppy is what this translates. This Greek word Jesus uses is still a dog, yes, but more a domesticated dog that lives in the home with the family. In engaging in this dialogue with this woman, Jesus tests her faith. Jesus also gives his disciples a glimpse of the near future, when Gentiles would also accept Jesus as Lord. This Gentile woman did not just happen onto Jesus. She not only knew that what Jesus was capable of doing, she knew enough about the Jewish religion to understand Jesus was Lord in the line of King David and the Gentiles' place in the kingdom and in the pecking order. She had done her homework, and she was prepared to dialogue with Jesus on his terms. She knew her place, but she also had faith in Jesus that he could heal her daughter. In her motherly desperation, she turned to God, the God of creation, for a solution for her daughter. She did not ask for the full portion, just the crumbs from the table. For she knew that even the crumbs from the table, her faith in Jesus' power would heal her daughter. Her faith in Jesus was great, and so was her persistence. This Gentile woman does not let culture or gender or discrimination get in her way. It was unheard of for a Gentile woman to approach and speak to a Jewish man in public. She was taking a great risk. And even when Jesus ignores her initially, she does not relent. She persists, kneeling in front of Jesus and said, "Lord, help me." Jesus, at this point, could not ignore her unless he wants to leapfrog over her. But he puts her to a test. And he says about his mission being to the first to the lost sheep of Israel. But he also knew what was coming for the Gentiles. Jesus puts her in her place, but gently. Remember, little puppy. Showing her the order of things. First the Jews, and then the Gentiles. She could have gotten mad and stormed away, but she was faithful enough to realize the bone that Jesus had thrown to her. And that was not a, that was definitely a pun meant for there. Remember, Jesus doesn't call her mangy cur, but little puppy, part of the family, but dependent on the kindness of the head of the household. Jesus was so impressed by her faith and persistence that her daughter was healed instantly. Persistence combined with great faith paid off. In both Joseph and this Canaanite woman show us an examples of great faith, one through patience and another through persistence. This is the kind of faith we strive for, isn't it? But it's hard. And when our lives take turns for the worst, it's hard to keep the faith sometimes. When problems hit, we look to blame someone, anyone. Sometimes we want to blame God, right? And sometimes we even blame ourselves. Blaming ourselves is probably the hardest to get over. With others, we can stay away from those people. With God, we can ignore God. God doesn't ignore us, but we can ignore God. But with ourselves, there's no getting away from ourselves or ignoring ourselves. We can be really hard on ourselves in situations that lead us maybe to depression or life escapes. Some are not real healthy for us. But remember the lesson from our scripture today. God is always with us, even when things are not going well in our lives. And I'm sure over the 23 years away from his family and 13 years in prison, Joseph had some bad days, but he waited patiently. It was hard keeping the faith in God. Yet through family betrayal and slavery and false imprisonment and forgotten, Joseph kept the faith. And the Gentile woman, facing many social and gender and religious obstacles, didn't give up or lose faith because her daughter's life depended on it. Maybe we don't see God's hands in every situation in our lives, but God promises us he will always be with us. Keeping the faith, even when things don't go our way, or being persistent with God when we need help, is not easy. My prayer for all of us is we will too have great faith, like our examples in Scripture this morning, that we would have patience when things don't go our way as we have planned, and we would stay connected to God persistently in prayer. Remember what Paul tells us? Pray always. That is my prayer for all of us, that when we stay patient and we stay persistent, we too can have a great faith. Amen.